Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SLB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. It's also my honor to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. To follow the directions, call ID 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Also, we have a YouTube stream, live stream, which is posted on many websites from the SFU discussion board to my Twitter feed to the Discord server. And if I remember, also to post it up on Facebook. If you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. It's SFUONCALL at gmail.com. Also, you can reach me via Skype. My Skype ID is Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. Just have my podcast account, which is SFU On Call. It's SFUONCALL. And my personal account, Paul Franz. If you want to follow me, be happy to. I'll talk Roman Catholic and definitely. You'll see me retweeting things from the Pope and also things from different tech people. Also have a tertiary account, which I use for my businesses, which is Franz Games, FRANZGMES. And, of course, if you want to, you can contact me on Facebook. I have that SFU On Call page, so you can contact me via that page. Also, this lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various feeds around the net. Some quick news from A2B this week. Steve Cole working on Cabin's Log number 53 blogs and also fiction that might work for Cabin's Log number 54. Also, Shapeways and other projects. Steve Petrick was busy working on SFB updates and also on the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on Shapeways, get that all getting going, managing the Facebook and Twitter, uploading new ships up to Shapeways to be ready for the release, and of course keeping an eye out for spam on the BBS, especially when people report it. She'll bop it down as soon as possible. Moving on, went to the SFB Online tournaments. Currently, the only running tournament is the Master 2018. This is 2019. Hopefully, we can get done before 2020. No progress there, but hopefully, we will see some in the future. When it comes to Rat 49, that's the next Ready Days tournament. I will be sending out an email this week announcing it, and I have to. But I first have to make sure who's going to be the judge for the next tournament. And so we'll move on forward with that. Some quick news for the SFB Online website. There is a new privacy policy that has been posted there. So if you want to know what our privacy policy is, just go to the FAQ and there's a link right there. So you can take a look, see what the privacy policy is. Moving onward to the library report. I'm sorry, I've not got any done. Frank is bugging me about it because of he got some to me like last month, right before the fire, and I've been busy with other things, and hopefully I should be able to get to it this weekend and actually get around to processing those things so we can have more progress, because currently there's only 2,460, completed, converted, yet to be converted is 865. That still leaves us a percent complete at only 74%. Hopefully we can get this up into the 90s this year. That'd be fantastic, because I've said something about this for many, many podcasts, and I'm sure you're getting kind of tired of me saying it, which is I need to go and actually review those things that are outstanding to see how many are Omega, how many are the Alpha, how many are the PFs. So we'll have to wait and see. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's me and Dave. It's a nice, wonderful night. I actually had a wonderful dinner with a friend of the family's. And she made a wonderful chicken masala with mushrooms. It was awesome. Getting back to Starfleet Universe. We're going to be discussing tonight two things. Well, possibly one, maybe two. You know how things go. And heck, we might go to four or five. Depends upon what rabbits I chase tonight. You know, it happens. Okay. So we're going to start with actually Klingon tournament tactics. Because I figured, and if we have time, then Andromedan tactics. And if we have time after that, you never know. Or maybe I'll scoot some things in the middle of things. Because, for example, one thing that I'm currently doing, I'm trying to get some work done on the actual on SFB Online site. I've actually been doing a little bit of research, you know, for like what would take to do a web client, web-based client a little more. You know, actually, I've been working with a guy, Al, who's been helping me with this other project, and he introduced me to WebSockets and how it can actually be pretty easy. They're pretty basic, and to me, that's a good thing, because I think the most basic that you start with, you can understand technology more easily. Obviously, there's still some abstraction. I'm not exactly sure how WebSockets work on the actual network end and browser end. But I understand enough of that technology to know that I can have to communicate back and forth, you know, and we'll just see how that whole thing goes. But, you know, I'm trying to work on some features for the website when it comes to privacy and things like that. So, hope, you know, like one thing I did put up this week, which if you're listening to this, well, other than Dave, if you listen to the news portion, you'll notice that I also mentioned that I put up a privacy policy on the website for SFB Online. I should be working on one for Starfleet Warlord. It's going to be a little different because we're dealing with a little different set of information that I gather. From people and what that use is going to be, is what the stuff is used for. Just for a quick example, one thing that I mentioned is that when you're on my website, basically your interactions are tracked for what you do on that website. Big surprise. And the reason for that is so that at a future time, I can evaluate what those interactions were, and then I can improve the website so that those things, for example, those things that you find hard to find or have a hard time using, you know, because you can do that through the analytics. I can then say, okay, well, this person, they couldn't find, I want them to be easily find this feature, and they couldn't easily find it. It took them like 15 clicks, you know, visiting 15 different portions of the website just to find this one thing which should have been really easily and quickly available. So that's the kind of thing, you know, that's one of those things that I mentioned in the privacy policy, that yes, when you're on my website, I do track you on my website, and that's it for your interaction, so I know what you do, and hopefully I can improve the website based on the way people interact with the website. You know, that's the whole idea. You know, so little things like that, you know, I'm trying to make it plain speaking so that anyone can go visit the website, look at the privacy policy, understand it. You know, I plain English, you know. Because originally I actually looked into getting a professional privacy policy. It cost me like $100 to get a privacy policy that covered everything that I was going to be using people's data for. For example, for SMB Online, one thing I also do, I gather your email address. Shocker. Well, because one, I need your email address so I can tell you, hey, guess what? Your subscription is going to lapse. Do you want to resubscribe? You know, I need to be able to tell you this, because if I don't tell you this, you might forget that, oh, why is my subscription stop working? Well, it's because you forgot to re-up. Well, it's kind of normal for a website to actually tell the customers, oh, your subscription is going to lapse. Don't you want to resubscribe? I don't automatically resubscribe for you. You know, currently I don't do that. I might actually make that an option where people can automatically renew every single year or every single period of time, you know, whether they decide on a year or quarterly or what. So, you know, things, and also I add that to a mailing list that can then send you out announcements about what's happening on the website, what's events that you might be interested in at the website. That's all I do. I don't share with third parties. It's all internal to myself. The only time I share any information is when I have to, which is part of like Rated Ace tournaments. I have to share the information I gather with A to B for it to be considered a valid Rated Ace tournament. That's the rules as per ADB. There's nothing I can do about that. But you know, I maintain that information for as little period of time as I can that I am able to. As soon as we're done with the tournament, ADB gets their information and I delete mine. So, you know, things like that. But anyway, let's get back to the actual topic. I've already started chasing rabbits. Jeez, what it took me all like 30 seconds. So, Klingon tactics. Now, Klingon tactics are a little different than Zeni tactics. Obviously, there are some similarities. Some of the similarities are obvious, i.e., the usage of the scatter pack. That's kind of standard when it comes to the drone using races. And Klingons and Zenis, for the most part, they can use it the same way. You get a big pile of drones. Now, here's always the gotcha with the Klingons. Now, the Klingons aren't the Zeni. The Zeni get double control. The Klingons do not. So, it's not like you can have this large wave of drones. I mean, really large. As in the case of Zeni, in theory, takes a little bit of work. In theory, you can have a big wave of 12 drones. Of course, normally if anyone does that, what's going to happen? Time to wild weasel and flush them. You know? When it comes to Klingon, fortunately, Klingon can only control a maximum of 6 drones. Guess what? There are 6 drones in the scatter pack. So if you launch the scatter pack, you can no longer control any other drones. You can't launch any more drones unless you drop control of some of those drones. Now, obviously, that's always an option. You always can actually go and drop control of the drones, because if you do not think that those drones are actually going to go and actually hit somebody, you know, then it might be advantageous to actually drop control of that drones and have drones come from a different angle, you know, because that can easily happen. I can easily see that scenario, because basically you can do kind of a classic pincer movement kind of thing. You know, either the person can face the 2 drones coming from the one angle, or the 4 drones from another angle, or the ship that's coming in from a different angle. You know, because, you know, let's say you're going speed like 30, like you can go speed like speed 30, let's say a quick burst to speed 30 in the Klingon. You have a scatter pack which has 6. You drop control of 2 of them. So there's still 4 still following this guy. You launch 2 drones. The 2 drones are speed 20s. They kind of lag behind you. You go off to the right. You kind of side slip off to the right so that you kind of have it so that either he has to go through those 2 drones or he has to go through you. Most probably he's going to go through the drones, in which case it's better for you because then you can get behind him and dun, dun, dun. He's in trouble, you know. And if he goes right after you, okay, you know, he might get, he'll probably get past you. Of course, depends upon when it is in the turn, you can actually time it so you have the tractor. So if he tries to run through you, what can you do? You tractor him. And then he has to deal with the drones. You know, this kind of stuff, which is, you know, the Scatterpack is a wonderful thing. As I mentioned before, it gives you a nice big mobile terrain, which is one of the things that Seeking Webs are used for. And obviously, the more Seeking Webs, the better. You know, that's a better wall. That actually, the less likely to be able to knock them all down. And there's always the gotcha. You're always, an opponent is always thinking about this, that if you have Seeking Weapons coming at you, what do you do about them? There's three options. You can fire at it, you can run from it, or you can use a Wild Weasel. All of them have their downfalls. You know, it's going to take a lot of firepower to completely destroy a drone or your plasma. Well, lots of drones, because obviously 4 points of energy can destroy a single drone. Of course, to guarantee a kill, you have to be range one with a phaser one. That's the only guaranteed kills in the game. But that's going to take up energy, so you're going to be using it. Speed. Of course, speed is going to use energy. And obviously, you have to be running away from the drones, which means that you're running away from the mobile terrain, which is what the guy wants you to do. And then, of course, there is the Wild Weasel. Of course, the big issue with the Wild Weasel completely is that if you stop, you're stopped. And as the saying goes in Starfleet battles, speed is life. You need to keep going, because what happens at that point, you're giving up. You're giving up any initiative, any tactical initiative that you had. Because, that's always, and I mentioned it before, that's one of the things I love about Starfleet battles. There's no randomness about initiative. You either have it or you don't, and you define it by your actions. In this case, the speed, which to me makes sense. You know, versus, I'm sorry, to me, the whole idea of initiative being random makes no sense. Which is why, one of the reasons why I always love Starfleet battles, this is one of those things. Just like that, another one was obviously proportional movement, because to me, the whole idea of using movement points was always nutty, because of it doesn't make sense. It's a simplification which works. If you want a beer and pretzels game, it works. But if you want something that's more realistic, proportional movement is going to be a much better representation an actual real system. Okay. Now, so that's the drones. Now, here's the one thing about the Klingon. The Klingon has something that the Zinti does not have. One, it has more phasers. Two, it has I'm not going to say a better phaser array, because I can't say that. I really can't. Because of, for the Zinti has only like four phaser ones. Yeah, four phaser ones. But it has around, I think it's 8 or 10. I can't remember off the top of my head. 8 or 10 phaser threes. So when it comes to dogfighting, the Zinni's going to get you because he's got all of those phaser threes. And what's the great thing about phaser three? That it takes three internals in a volley to hit the best phaser. So unless you get three internals, it's going to be greater than three internals, but at least if you don't hit three phasers, you're going to be hitting the Zinni's phaser threes. So those phaser ones are going to last for a whole long time. Now, obviously, with the Klingon has the phaser twos in the waists. Now, the big problem with that is they're in their waist phasers. which means if you're in the forward arc, they don't apply at all. Now, if you're directly aft, on a Klingon ship is a very special position. Now, it's rarely used, and I agree because you can't really. It's one of the things you can take advantage of, but you can't plan for the most part, because and that is that you can fire. I gotta think about this. I'm pretty sure every single phaser, or very close to every single phaser, directly aft. If someone's right behind you, you can fire those front extended ones. You can fire them directly aft. The waist phasers also, they fire directly aft. I'm pretty sure also the wing phasers, those also fire directly aft. So it's one of those things. It's awesome in the Klingon, and at the same time, how many people are actually going to get directly behind you, close enough directly behind you to take advantage of that? Because they have to be lined up, center line behind you. It's rare, but it's always one of those things you have to keep up. It's like, remember your tractors, that saying. Remember your phasers can fire aft because of, if you don't remember that, when the tactical situation arrives, can't take advantage of it. So that's one of those really kind of cool little things that the Klingon ship has. Unfortunately, the Klingon ship, you can't separate the bow versus the aft section. But of course, how many of you actually would want to do that? Because of usually the reason why you do anything like that in real SFP, not non-tournament, is to have it so the bow section can actually escape. So, and in the case of a tournament, that means you lose anyway, so what's the point? Now, of course, when it comes to the drones, you do have some advantages that the Zindi does not. One, you do not have to announce where the drone came from, because you have an ad rack. It's an ad rack, on the Klingon ship. And the whole idea is that you're given two dogfight drones that you can, and you can actually, you want to, you can use the drone points that you're given, so you can actually get more. I have yet to see anyone actually do that. I've seen people actually upgrade their dogfight drones to be fast drones, because of that, again, that's not confusion. That's surprise factor, because of normally, everyone brings up a speed 32, like you get to basically convert four drones when it comes to the Klingon. So you can either have two type fours and two type ones, which is what normally people do, but at the same time, you got speed 20 dogfight drones. You can upgrade them, and when you launch two fast drones, your opponent's always going to assume that fast drone, or both those fast drones are quote unquote real drones, because the dogfight drone only can go so far, and then dies. And also it does 1 point of damage. So you could force them to do that. And then if you want to, later on, launch another drone, or have, launch three drones, one of them type speed. Actually, you would never do this. I don't think this would be kind of silly. And that is to have launch one speed 20 drones and two fast drones at the same time. I would never do that. If you're going to try that tactic, what you're going to need to do is going to have to launch either three fast drones, and just completely confuse him. But obviously, the jig is up. He knows one of those is your dogfight drones, just like in the case of you launching three speed 20 drones. Same tactic. But when you launch only two, then the guessing really occurs in my mind. Because when you only launch two drones, your opponent has to think, is one of those a dogfight drone? And to me, that's a more difficult thing than to say, which one is it? Because in that case, automatically just you tractor one, you probably tractor two and hit one is usually what you would do. In the case of two of them, they'd probably both be tractored. Now, and he would assume that those were the fat, the good ones. And then you launch like a Type 4 Speed 20 or something along those lines. You have to, or actually in that case, again, I would make sure it was also a fast drone. Nice Type 4 32 at that point, and then you would really confuse them. But probably at that time would probably realize that was a real drone. But again, that's one of those tactics. It's just like Sudo on plasma torpedoes. It is the same thing. You have to know your opponent to know what they will do. Because the thing is, you don't know how your opponent has spent their drone upgrades. You don't get to know it until the end. But but some of those things are, as I said, it's kind of cool because you don't have to announce where they come from. In which case, and remember, and also this is a reminder for those people who use the SOB Online client. And that is that the order is defined by which drone you click first. You don't have to do it from top down, click, click, click. You can do it any order you want. You can do click, click, click from the bottom on the way up. Or you can do, hit one and then three and then two, however you want to do it. It's completely up to you. And I would definitely suggest if you launch three drones that you try to mix up the order to a certain degree. There's not much order you can do with three drones. Combinatorially, it's not that big. I think there's nine? That doesn't make sense. We're talking about combinatorial versus permutations. One of them, one of them actually, you can do like 1-1-1, 2-2, 3-3, that kind of thing, versus, that's permutations versus combinatorial. Man, I'm talking about taking me back. But anyway, so drones are obviously a very big thing for the Klingons, and you have to use them very well. It can be a great benefit, especially that scatter pack of yours, because the Klingon is one of the few ships that actually gets a scatter pack. Only the Klingon and the Zeni get a scatter pack. The Wynn does not. The Orion can't. I think that's it. I'm trying to think about any other persons that actually would have drone racks. Yeah, I think that's all. That's all. So, that's all you have to think about. Now, of course, there is the last thing, and one of those things, the reason why, as a player, I hate to fly against the Klingons, and that is UIMs that are connected to those little disruptors, and they don't break down. is it called Breakdown or forget? I don't think it's called Breakdown. I think it's called something else, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But I know in normal play with the UIM, every time you use it, you have to roll down. Burnout. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. So you have UIM crystals that do not burn out in tournament play, which is like, I understand the perspective on it because you don't want it to be random. You know, the Klingons won because of his UIM didn't burn out. You know, versus like the Liren who gets a single UIM burnout, and we'll talk about tactics for Liren at a future time. We're currently discussing the Klingons. Now, because of those UIM stinking little buggers, that is, you can hit, you have a good chance of hitting all the way out to range 8. You have 1 to 5 hit all the way out to range 8. Now, this gives you some options, which normally you wouldn't get. Because of, since you can almost guarantee a hit, yes, sir, you can roll a 6 and miss. But since you have that, yeah, Dave's saying, I can't tell how many times I miss with 3 out of 4 disruptors. No, and I've seen it too. I've seen it even at range 8. I've seen people fire 4 disruptors and miss 3 out of 4, i.e. rolling 3 6s. It's not impossible, but you have a much better chance. See, the thing is, that gives you options. That means that, and because of course, the one thing I had not brought up yet, which is, of course, the turn mode B. That means it's more maneuverable than most of the ships out there, except for when you talk about the Orions. Orions are turn mode A, just a reminder. But that allows you to go, you know, attack on the oblique at range 8 if you want. Obviously, range 5 is okay, but of course, overall, you'd like to have go to range 4 if possible, but that's also a problem for you. The reason why you'd want, you know, 4 is better than 5, it's just because that's the range bracket. The range bracket for the disruptors for 6 points of damage overloaded, that is 5 to 8, and normally you hit you have 1 to 4 hit, but with the UIM you have 1 to 5 hit. Dave just mentioned that he's also glad when the Fed misses the 3 out of 4 of the hateful, bitter, angry photons. So yeah, Dave, I would agree with that. That's when you're cheering. So it allows you to do certain things. And of course, there's the wonderful things called disruptors themselves. And that is that disruptors, one of the great things about disruptors, and always keep this in mind, is that a disruptor is very flexible when it comes to when you want to fire it, when you don't want to fire it. Obviously, it's not nearly as flexible as the Saltorians particle cannons, because to me, the Saltorians particle cannons is the ultimate inflexibility. Of course, then we had the problem with the leaky capacitor, but it is the most flexible weapon because of the beautifulness when it comes to having a Saltorian particle cannon, is that you can put energy into that capacitor, and then later on, either that turn or next turn or whatever, you can fire it whatever, however you want, whether it's standard or overlay, it doesn't matter. But the disruptor is as close to that. Because the disruptor, you can want to you can put 2 points of energy because you're planning on firing it this turn. But, you know, but you're not quite sure if you're going to get into overloaded range. In which case, you can use 2 points of power from your battery to overload it, and you can fire as overload. There are some things that people rarely do, and I'm not sure I would do it myself. But, I can see it. There are certain situations I can see it happening, which is you can put 1 point of energy into a disruptor, and then if you want to, you can use, you know, reserve power to bring it up from one to two, and then fire. Now, the only time I would ever do this is in one situation. And that situation is you're closing in on an opponent, and you think one of your disruptors is going to get blown off the ship, and you've got, like, let's say you got four, and you think when your disruptors is going to be blown off the ship before you can fire, because you want to get closer in. But you know, you're going to try to get your opponent to fire a little bit farther range. But you're going to come in closer. So you do some contingent allocation to that disruptor for like 1 point of energy. And then if everything goes right, you can, and disruptor survives, then you can put an extra point of energy into it, and boom, it fires. And you got an extra weapon. But, and that's without wasting, in the case of that disruptor being killed, you only lose 1 point of energy versus 2 points of energy if you had already charged it to be a standard. Obviously, that means that you have to hold back 1 point of energy from reserve power just in case. So, it's one of those gotchas, especially with the Klingon. The big issue, of course, with the Klingon is that it only has four boxes of forward hull. So, your batteries can easily get hit. Now, given that, you know, you might not want to try that tactic, but it's one of those tactics to keep in mind. You know, it's open. It's rarely used. There's really an opportunity to use it, but one of those things to keep in your pocket, you know, just in case, you know, like the tractors. Remember, you have the option available, because if you don't, remember that you have the option available. It's as if you don't have the option at all. So, I think. And the, you know, the last thing, obviously, with the Klingon, it has a good supply of control boxes. Even, remember, it still has the security boxes. You know, so you can, I forget when those get knocked down now. I think those are Mercy Bridge also knocks, you can destroy a security box on that. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I'm positive that there are no mutinies with Klingon ships in tournament play. So the security boxes are not worth anything except for as a way to protect your control boxes, because obviously it's better than the Orion. The Orion has three control boxes. So in theory, within one or two volleys, this is theory, this is complete theory, because the problem is getting it's highly, highly unlikely, because of control boxes are hit on two or 12. So it makes it really hard to get those. But, you know, it's one of those minor benefits. So, and obviously one other minor benefit for the Klingon, of course, is, and you might not see this, but it is, it's wonderful, which is the waste phasers. You rarely actually use waste phasers. because of the off angles. You know, they're going to be basically they're left rear, right rear. Now, with that, that means they rarely use. But you still have them as a battery capacitor. So you haven't. Not battery capacitor. Your phasor capacitor. So you actually have an additional phasor capacitor on your ship that normally you don't use the phasors for, but you can still use it for firing your phasors. So say you fire on turn one, you fire five phasor ones. You still have 5 points of energy left because you have two phasor threes which you have yet to fire, and you still have four phasor twos which are 1 points of energy per into your phasor capacitor. So you could fire it twice without recharging. If you just fire your phaser once, and obviously it depends upon who you're facing, because you're facing a Zinni, you're not going to do that. You're going to either use your waste phasers or you're going to use your phaser threes. You know, so you're never going to get two full firings of your phaser ones. Now, the Klingon is pretty overall good set of internals. Obviously, the weakness, which always is with the Klingons, which is the front hull boxes. There's only four boxes. It's reduced compared to the aft hull. The aft hull is what? I think there's like eight boxes, if I recall correctly. So there's quite a few boxes in the rear hull or aft hull. I forget what they call it these days. When it comes to tactics versus certain opponents, I don't see anything in specific other than the normal tactics against plasmas, against the Hellbore. Well, Hellbore is a pretty basic tactics versus the Hellbore, which is, you know, do your best to keep your shields as evenly distributed when it comes to the damage as possible. Obviously, in that case, you reinforce the shield to the point where the number of boxes that's represented, you know, the actual number of boxes on the shield plus the reinforcement is overall the same, or as much the same when it comes to the number of shields you got. Of course, with drones, one thing, remember, with when you're fighting against a Zinni who has a lot more drones than you have, obviously, one of the things you have to keep in mind, again, is that you have drones. So you can fire drone versus drone. And also, since Klingon has an ADRAC, you actually can use an ADRAC against drones, which is quite excellent. Also, something to keep in mind when it comes to your opponent, which is, ADRACs can be fired against shuttles. And if you hit, then you roll a die six and you see how much damage you did against the shuttle. In theory, you could cripple it. You know? But since the ADRAC is zero energy, you might as well use it. You know? And you can fire it as an ADRAC multiple times in a turn. Now, there's always the issue, and you got to remember this when it comes to that ADRAC, and that is that you can either use it as ADRAC or you can use it as a drone launcher. You can't use it as both within the same turn. And if I recall correctly, you need at least 8 impulses to switch between the two functions. And with that, I think I got time. I'm just discuss some starting Andromedan tactics, because there's so many things I could go through, and I don't want to spend too much time on it. But when it comes to Andromedans, okay, as a player of Andromeda, this is not against how you play against them. This is for if you're going to fly in Andromedans, you're a unique breed. If you decide to do that, for me, you know, I always like the challenge. Well, less of the challenge, I just like the uniqueness of the ship. And that's just me. You know, I like things that are unique and different. So that's just the way I am. So, as an Andromedan captain, what is the number one thing that you're always going to keep your mind on? This is what, and that is going to be energy flow. You're always, Andros do rule, yes, Dave, they definitely do. But Andromedans always keep an eye on their energy flow. That means how much do they have in their panels? How much do they have in their batteries? How can they get the stuff that's in their panels into their batteries as quickly as possible? Now, when it comes to those batteries, this is something that no other ship would ever, ever, ever do. And I've as an Andromeda player, I really do this myself. Really do. And that is, if you feel a need to burn those batteries, I mean really burn them, because you planned a panel dump, but you need to get the amount of energy that's in your batteries down to as minimal as possible. Remember, you can actually turn down your energy production. Yes, as crazy as that sounds, for all you galactics out there, I know that sounds crazy, but let's say you turn off, you say, okay, I want to shut down my APRs, shut down the APRs. I want to shut down my impulse engines, shut down my impulse engines. I went from having like 28 points of power down to 24 points of power. Now, that means I can take 4 points of power more out of the batteries and drain that out so that I have the ability to dump more into the, or even possibly to have the ability to dump into the batteries, because that's always, they're constantly thinking about that. That is getting that power out of those batteries. Why? Because now, here's the crazy thing about that, and I do mean crazy, and that is you can't let the energy go too far down on your batteries. Why? Because there is that one possibility, and I've actually had this happen to me, which is if you have so little energy back in your batteries and your PA panels are what? On standard level. And you have no way to reinforce those panels. Do not fall into that trap, my friend. Don't say, oh, I'll get energy soon enough. He won't get past my panels. Yes, he will. If you drain your batteries so low that you can't reinforce that PA panels, you're in deep trouble. And that's why, you know, it's one of those things you can, in theory, you can get away with it. And that's why you're always constantly thinking about that. Can I get away with it? Can I get away with it? If you completely drain your batteries, you can't, if you have time enough where you drain that last bit out of the batteries, but because of that, you can turn off your rear panels, which are facing away from your opponent at the time, and your front panels are at standard level. So any extra that cannot be shuttled from the rear to the front gets thrown into the batteries. At that point, you're fine, because you've gotten the energy from the rear panels. Some obviously goes into the front panels, and then the rest go into the batteries. Now you have enough in the batteries to actually reinforce those panels. But you have to make sure that you don't bite yourself in the butt and do the whole, oh, I can do it, I can do it, and find out your opponent was close enough that he said, you know, I'm going to take a pot shot of them. And if he takes a pot shot of you and you don't have the energy to reinforce those panels at the time, you're so screwed. Because your opponent will say, why can't you do that? And then, of course, here's one thing also to keep in mind. And I've had this happen to me, and it sucks dirt. Remember that there are certain times, yes, you want to drain your batteries, but certain times you don't want your batteries drained at all. Why? Because you might need it to either do a mid-turn speed change, or one of the things that you have to keep an eye out for, which is your opponent actually attracting you. Because a lot of opponents, what they'll do is they'll see those batteries and they'll quiver and shake to even the possibility of attracting you. The smart ones will not. They'll be tracking the energy flow as closely as they possibly can, so they know when your batteries are low. If your batteries are low, then they'll track you. Because here's the worst. Because, okay, let's, for example, let's say that a galactic, he tractors your ship. Uses 1 point of energy. Okay, well, I got one in my battery. Okay, I go one. Okay. He goes two. I go, oh, crap, I'm out of battery. So what do you do? One thing you can do, you're allowed to do this, is that if you were charging your TR beams, you can use that for tractor. Now, here's the problem with doing that ever. You do that in a desperate situation. Because of if you're tractor, you're dead. So in that case, you have to use your TR beam energy as anti-tractor, which you're allowed to do. Neat kind of thing, but you're allowed to do. But here's the problem, of course, that if you're starting to charge it, you've basically just, quote-unquote, fired your weapon. You've used your weapon, so then you have to start all over, charging your weapon next turn. So I'm sure your opponent will just be thrilled with that idea. Now, how you get anti-tractor is none of their business. And remember that. So you're constantly going to be worrying about that energy. Now, obviously, there are a few ways of... Now, because of the reduction in batteries, this is not as easy as it previously was. Previously, you had two kinds. You had South Carolina style and you had New Jersey style. That's the two tactics that you had. Okay, South Carolina style was relatively simple. You came in, you fired probably at like range 4. Possibly range 5 if you didn't think you could get there without really getting yourself hurt. Announce the displacement, fire at your opponent, then displace away. That's called the Southern style. Here's always the problem with that. The problem with that is, of course, what is considered the worst, it's not even a tactic, but it's a set of events which is called the Burnside maneuver. For all of those out there who don't know what the Burnside maneuver, let me explain it. It's one, you have to have very bad luck. That's a prerequisite. Here's what would happen. You would roll your dice for displacement. You roll 6. It means it fails. You roll again. You don't roll 6. Because if you roll 6, then it's random. So, I mean, you actually did get to move someplace. But what's the next one? Okay. So, you're stuck. What do you do next impulse? I want to stay away from my opponent. I don't want to get closer. So I do a hit. Now, let's say this is your second time you tried to hit. So, obviously, you have to roll your D6. And what happens? You roll a 6, and you fail the tractor. And then, actually, what's even worse is that at that point, you roll again. Do you spin? And the spin doesn't matter. Actually, spinning is actually kind of interesting. Because at least you're moving. In the case of you break down with six, you stop dead. That's what's considered the burn sign maneuver. You fail the displacement, then you fail the hit. Ta-da! This was brought to you by the South Carolina tactics. Now, New Jersey, this was the tactic. Basically, it comes down to this. It comes down to basically a knife fight style. Because of the Andromeda has a turn motive B. For certain ships, I'm not saying this would work for all of them, and some certain ships you don't want to be that close. The whole idea is you could do a knife fight, and the great thing about doing a knife fight, and if you can time it right, you can have it so that you could do a panel dump and keep a good shield towards your opponent. Because here's the great thing about the panel dump, and it's hard. It's not easy to execute, especially with the batteries being what they are with the tournaments. And that is that on the same impulse, you turn off your fronts or turn off your rears. Okay, you turn off one end of one side of the panel, say fronts, and then that same impulse, you turn on your rears. Now, beautiful part of that is that that's in that case, if you have your rear panels facing your opponent, which were previously down, your opponent goes, "Oh great, I get to fire at them. I get to fire at them with their panels down." Nope. So you bring your fronts down and you raise your rears. So now you're protected. But in addition, all energy that was in your front panels, it goes to the batteries. It never makes it because of that point in the process, your rear panels are down. So any energy that was in the front panels goes directly into your batteries. Now, obviously, it requires that you have a large enough battery to be able to do this, and that's the problem. They changed it from the original six down to the four. That makes doing that maneuver a lot harder. Now, is it four or three these days? I have to double check to see what is the current ship. Because of, in my mind, you need a minimum of three, because I think Paul Scott said that you need a minimum of two. He might be able to fly the Andromeda with two, and I disagree with that totally. Now, to me, you can actually do it with two, but here's the one thing you have to modify, and I've talked about this before. You have to put a energy module into that ship. Now, you don't have to be a small, it could be like a mini energy module. So, and since here's to me the great thing about that is that the actual energy module itself, the concept of the energy module is nothing new. The concept of the energy module is not something that is different. It's never been introduced. It's not something that's special for the tournament. But in tournament play, one of the things you can do, which I think would be awesome when it comes to having this energy module, is that you could tweak it. Tweak. It's a lot easier to tweak that than to tweak the batteries. And there's always the people who say, "Oh, I don't think they get to do these dumps, keep on constantly, bum, bum, bum." Well, that's the beauty of having the energy module. Have two batteries, which you can't really do a dump with two batteries. Believe it or not, you can't. You really can't. Because that only allows you 10 points of power to to get into there. If you have more than 10 points of power, you can't do it. But if you have an energy module, you can do that. But you can do that only once. Now, obviously, there is a benefit to the Andromeda in that now they can actually take that energy module, transport it out into space, because one thing about the energy module is that it can dissipate that energy. If you don't have any, if you don't have your opponent attacking it, it will dissipate the energy. But here's the, this is the reason why it could be a benefit to the Andromeda. If they had that possible weapon, then it could, the whole idea of a tertiary weapon comes into play, i.e., what you know you have with the seeking weapons, or the fighters or whatever, a distraction for your opponent, something that the opponent gets can go after that's not you. Because in the case of the energy module, in theory, if the opponent wants to, they can actually ignore it. Do I think that'd be a good idea? No, I do not. Because the beauty of it is that if he leaves it alone, it actually dissipates power. And if it dissipates power, what happens? You can then bring it back in, and you can use it again. But if he goes and fires at it, then it means someone's firepower is now gone to killing that instead of you. So it's worked its magic. It's given the Andromeda that tertiary weapon without it being an actual tertiary weapon. You know, that's just one of those ones. I haven't come up with the Andromedan term of cruiser based on that yet. You know, I said it's it would require to have more energy overall, running energy. So it can still fly around without, you know, dying in the middle of the game. You have to be able to fly around without the required need of its batteries. Because currently, to keep up its speed, it needs batteries. If you can get it so that it can keep up its speed without the batteries, but the batteries are mainly used purely as a way of extricating energy from the PA panels, then we've got to go. I think we got a better tournament cruiser at that point. But okay, getting back to North Carolina tactics, which is basically a knife fight, and toggling the panels back and forth so that even though you're close to your opponent, you can have it so that you can keep good shields up towards your opponent. Now, to me, I've yet to actually successfully implement this maneuver. And, of course, with changes to the Andromeda, that doesn't help the situation at all. So, I actually, there's a third tactic which I do employ. And that the whole idea of that one is a standard oblique attack. Fire, run away. Because what's going to happen? Your opponent wants to fire at your rear panels. That's what they're going to want to do. And that's fine. Because if you do that, obviously, if you can turn, if he fires everything at your rear panels, and you turn around, you can dump. You have the possibility to dump some of that energy from the rear panels into the front panels. If you really got it set, you can have what's in the front panels, you know, turn them off. Change both of them from reinforced to standard. Have all that extra energy go into the batteries. Bring up your front panels, and voila, you've just extricated quite a bit of energy. Now, obviously, the one thing to remember about extricating energy is remember that it's much better to have power in both front and rear. to a certain degree. But let's have it in both front and rear because of each panel can dissipate 1 point of energy per panel. Not per panel group, per panel. So if you have six boxes in the front, you can dissipate 6 points of energy. And then, of course, there's you can put 20 points of energy. You can absorb that from the panels into the batteries, which is great. Now, obviously, there's always the issue, again, which is if your batteries are full, you can't do that. You can only dissipate. But always, you're always keeping that in mind. Now, the one more dangerous ships that Andromeda ever has to fly against is not, well, one's the Federation, of course, because with those nice fully overloaded photons, if you hit with all four, you can kiss the Andromeda goodbye for the most part, you know? Because at 64 points of damage, even with the front panels, it's like wiped. And then you fire the phasers, and that just blows up the internals. You know, it completely obliterates it. But there is one of those insidious ones, in my mind, which is the Hydran. Or even, the Orion, you have a problem with the Orion as it stands. Because the Orion can be very quick and nimble, and it can double hit. So even if you get it so that you got right on target, he can hit and they can hit again. Obviously, he has those. There's a limit when it comes to. Can't do it within 8 impulses of each other when it comes to 2 hits. But you can do that, and to me, when it comes to facing an Orion, the only craziest tactic I've ever used, and actually only has successfully operate once, and that is the whole idea is when you approach the Orion is that you transport out your T-bomb using your T-bomb as mobile terrain. The idea is that you force the Orion to sideslip away from you. You get behind him and be able to fire on his rear shields. And here's the beauty of it. With the current TR arrangement, it's TRHs. Not TRHs. They're FH. Forward half. That means if you can get, this is the gotcha, if you can get right on the shield line, if you get right on that shield line, you can hit the rear panels. Rear shields with your front, TRs, and your like four phaser twos, which I think is awesome. And he can't fire his heavy weapons at you. Now, obviously, if he wants to, he can turn into that T-bomb and take it. But again, if he turns in the T-bomb and you turn in, obviously the big issue there is that he dictates turns because he can fly faster and have a better turn mode than you. So that's why Orion's always kind of tricky, and invariably, Orion's what they do is they have a phaser package, all phaser ones with one phaser G, and they just run around like a freaking bat out of hell, and they will just ride your butt, and the only thing you can do against that is it's HETS and displacement device. That's the only thing that you can do to fight him. Now, The other nasty guy is, of course, hydrant. If that hydrant or an Orion gets your panels full for your hellbore, you're screwed. You're done. Because you have to run around, you have to run around that freaking board waiting for your panels to dissipate or absorb enough energy just so you can do a toggle of one of from reinforcement down to standard. It's not easy, you know. Currently, you know, the Andromeda is not that, is really hard to play, and it's not that well balanced. You know, it's at a complete disadvantage. But you know, I like to play it every once in a while. So don't give up. Keep trying, and we'll work through making the Andromeda a better ship. So with that, we're going to, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.